I invite you to turn with me in God's Word this morning to our scripture passage, this morning taken from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read the first 17 verses. And then we will also consider this in light of the Word from Romans 8, verses 1 through 17. And we'll also look at Lord's Day 5 of the Heidelberg Catechism that's found on page 12 in the back of your Psalters. First of all, then, God's Word. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So far, the reading of God's Word. I also invite you to turn with me in the back of your Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 5 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You'll find that on page 12 in the back of your Psalters. I'll read the question. I'd like all of us to respond with the answer. Lord's Day 5. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? God requires that His justice be satisfied, and therefore the claims of His justice must be fully fulfilled, either by ourselves or by another. Can we pay this debt ourselves?
Certainly not. Actually, we increase our guilt every day.
Can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us?
No. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for man's guilt. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it.
What kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then?
He must be truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all other creatures. That is, he must also be true God.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, these past few weeks we have been considering what the Bible says about our real condition before the Lord with the aid of the Heidelberg Catechism. We saw how man, through his willful rebellion, plunged himself and all of his posterity into sin. And we saw how he tried to knock on several other doors to find some escape from this dilemma. He asked, well, is it right for God to demand of us that which we cannot do? Is God merciful? And at each one of these doors that we've knocked on, we found them closed. Man could not escape by way of these excuses. And now it would have been so easy for us to go home and just simply be disappointed. For if a person meets too many closed doors in his life, if a person meets disappointment after disappointment, if he faces failure after failure, the natural reaction would be, well, I guess there's just no use. There's nothing more we can do. I'm no good. I don't amount to anything. No one can help me. I'm done. And therefore, people of God, it is so beautiful now that this morning the confessing church once again arises to her feet. And that confessing church now beautifully pours out her heart before God and says, God, we do not want to point the accusing finger at you anymore. Even though we've tried knocking on that door, even though we tried to make all kinds of excuses, we cannot really come to the conclusion that it's your fault. We deserve punishment. And now we come to Lord's Day 5. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. That's a beautiful scriptural confession. But we have to be careful with that confession, beloved, because it's possible to be very, very orthodox. It's possible to say all the right things. Now to reject all those other excuses, all those closed doors, and say, yep, that's right, we do not have the right. Nope. Since we deserve punishment both in this world and in the one to come, God, there is no way out for us at all. So I guess we just better sit back. We have to admit that we're wrong. We have to admit that we're sinful. We have to admit that we deserve punishment temporally and eternally. And now we can do nothing but sit back and hope that somehow someone will help us out of this dilemma. Maybe you've met people like that before, haven't you? These people who are, they claim to be so orthodox, and they say, well, we have the truth, and here's the truth. We all deserve punishment. We look for it this world, and we're going to have it in the next world. Oh, my sin. I can only sit back and hope that somehow, some way, someday, someone will help me. Oh, my sin. And I keep thinking of that song, My Sin, Oh, the Bliss of This Glorious Thought. They don't put the comma there. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Oh, my sin, it's so terrible. I am really bad. And that's where they leave it. But that is not where the confessing church stops. Listen once to Lord's Day 5. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How can we escape that punishment? Is there no way out? How can we return to God's favor? Two things. How can we escape from this punishment? God, we just cannot simply sit back with our sin, but we have to ask now, confessingly, actively, how can we escape? Because we realize we're in a bad position. We realize that we are trapped. Now, I know that no one should be scared into religion by hellfire and brimstone, but in a very realistic sense, We have to be extremely honest. We do confess it, don't we? We pay attention to this confession. God, we do deserve punishment, both in this world and in the one to come. No wonder. No wonder we should be afraid, because punishment in this world is bad enough. It's no small thing, beloved. Punishment here and now would be terrible on its own. But then you have to not only go through this world punished, but you also have to face eternal punishment. You know, sometimes we say that, oh, it took an eternity to get out of there. We have no idea what that's like. We have no idea when we say an eternity. I waited in line for my mocha, and it was an eternity. No. You waited maybe 10 minutes. You should wonder why you're waiting that long for a cup of coffee with some chocolate in it. But anyway, you wait. And we think that we just wait so long. It's not that long, but eternity is. Imagine being punished in this life and in the one to come for all eternity. And that's why we ask this morning, God, knowing full well that we have deserved your punishment, both here and now and forever after, is there no way out? Yeah, that's fear. That's healthy fear. Is there some way to return to your favor, God? You see, that's really the heart of the matter. It's not strictly, can we escape punishment? But what we're looking for is this, oh God, is there some way that I can be accepted by you again? Can I ever once again call you my Father? And can I ever expect again to be called your child? You know, children, when your parents are angry with you and you're punished, that doesn't feel good, does it? And after a while, you begin to think about that, you know, yeah, I screwed up. How can I get back in favor with my parents again? How can I be welcomed by my father again? How can I be happy again as their child? I've hurt my father and my mother. That's the worst thing. And you see, beloved, that is now how this question of Lord's Day 5 comes around. How can I escape punishment? Oh, yeah, that too. But especially, oh God, how can I ever see you face to face again? God, how can I ever be accepted by you? How can I ever be called by you again? My son, my daughter. And it's to that that the confessing church answers today. And the confessing church for this answer has been criticized. It has been said to ministers who preach from the Heidelberg Catechism, you still read that confessional statement? You still preach from the Heidelberg Catechism? That's not only old-fashioned and outdated, but it's all full of rationalism. It's the product of man's rational mind. It is full of scholastic thought. It's a commentary upon a commentary. You can't do anything with it. It's nothing but the work of a proud human heart who's studying to get an answer. How can this person escape from the punishment of sin? Well, let's see. Let's think about it logically. If this is how we're going to go through it, if this is just a logical document, first of all, I know that justice has to be fulfilled, and secondly, I know that I must have it done by either myself or someone else, and third, I cannot do it. Fourth, the only one who can is the God-man, and therefore the answer is Jesus Christ. How clever I am. Look at what I've discovered. I have devised the plan of salvation all by myself. Where it came out is exactly where God came out, with the cross of Calvary. Yeah, but people of God, Lord's Day 5 is not the product of a rational mind. Lord's Day 5 is not a scholastic question and answer. Lord's Day 5 is the answer of a confessing church, of a body of believers. The answer of Lord's Day 5 is the answer which the living, confessing church draws out of God's Word. That's what we believe together. That's what we confess. That's what it means to confess, to say with Scripture. And what do you know about what God says? What are you going to say with God's Word? That He is our Father in Jesus Christ our Lord, that we belong to Him. You see, those verses that we read from Romans 8, Jesus has purchased us with His precious blood, and now no one can take us out of His hand. And I refer back to Lord's Day 1 and how that echoes Scripture. We belong to God. We're going to talk about that more tonight. But that's what God has said in His Word. You belong to Him. What a beauty. What a joy. What a comfort. So let's tie that in now, concrete. And then I want to point out three things in order to make that answer of Lord's Day 5 come to our life concretely. That no one is able to snatch us out of God's hand. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that we are covenantal children of God, that by God's Spirit, as Romans says, He ties Himself to us. And God has made us very, very clear in Scripture that we are the very crown of His creation. And second, that covenant was made with Adam, not just an individual, but that covenant was made with the historic Adam, that man who really lived just like you live and just like I live. That Adam was our federal head. He was our representative. In Adam, that marvelous covenant was made, that organic body of Christ, and that was made with Christ and with the body, us. That covenant was made with all of God's people. And in Adam, we are represented. And finally, what does it mean to belong to Jesus? That no one is now able to take us from His hand? Well, that means that that covenant that was initiated and instilled by God is now something that remains. It's with us today. God made it. God also required that we live as covenant children before Him. So let's keep those three things in mind. What does it mean when we've identified as people who are redeemed, when we say we belong to Jesus Christ and that no one can take us from His hand? It means that we are covenant children. It means, secondly, that that covenant was made with Adam, and third, that that covenant was made by God. And now we get back to that question, and that question asks, confessingly, but God, is there no way out? Can we ever be again received into Your favor? And God answers us from His Word, and God says, yes, there would be a very easy way out if I had not made that covenant with you. And we come back to God and we say, well, since we have fallen into sin and we deserve punishment here and now and forever after, please tell us, is there some creature somewhere who can take that place and bear our punishment? No, says God. The very fact that you, O man, the covenant creature, had that covenant made with you, those doors are closed. It can't be something else. It can't be some sacrifice. It has to be made by someone who is man. The covenant was made with your federal representative head, Adam. And no other creature can be found. And no one from the fallen human race will be able to take your place and be just and righteous before God. No one has shoulders that are broad enough to bear my eternal anger and wrath against sin, says God. Because that debt of sin increases every day. It's not just the sin of one person in one lifetime, but of millions of people and millions of lifetimes. Which creature, which human being is able to bear that punishment? No one, says God. And now, people of God, if that were just mere rational minds trying to understand that, you would have to come to the conclusion, well, I guess it is hopeless. There is no way out for us. No matter how much we dream of utopia, no matter how much we think and try to convince ourselves of a bright future, there is no way out for us. But you see, we're not gathered together today as a group of rational animals. We have assembled together as a confessing church of Jesus Christ. And what no eye could see and no ear could hear, and which could never even enter into the imagination of man, that God has prepared for us. Because God says, when you ask that question, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How can we escape that punishment? And then God says, there is an answer. There is a way out. How? You must go to Calvary. And there you must see Jesus Christ. And you have to hear him say, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you understood even a little bit of the kind of punishment that God has, a righteous God, against sin. Not just your sin, not just my sin, but the sin of the whole world. And Jesus saw that sin. And he asked, Father, is there some other way? But yet not my will, but yours be done. And he bore that sin on the cross, the punishment, that eternal punishment. That's why we need to come to that cross on bended knee. And confess that Jesus Christ who was born of Mary, the son of David, is man. And God made his covenant of peace with him. We must confess that Jesus Christ is also the second Adam, who is now the head of the covenant. For as in Adam all died, so in the second Adam all have been made alive. And what is more, that Son of Man, that Son of Adam, is also the eternal God who could say, I and the Father, we are one. He was the God-man. And so our Heavenly Father says to us today, yes, there is hope. Don't leave thinking it's all done and it's all hopeless. There's nothing for us to do. No! No, says God, there is hope. Knock, and make sure you knock on the right door. There is a way of escape, somehow to escape that temporal and eternal punishment. But the only way out is through Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Make sure you knock on that door, the door of the cross and the resurrection. And then listen carefully to my word, says God. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Jesus is our mediator. Jesus is our Savior. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Believe it, young people. Believe it, brothers and sisters. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So be it. And all God's people said. O Father, May we come today penitent, not proud, not arrogant, but humbly. For we want to know that there is salvation available through Jesus Christ and through Him alone. So teach us to come and to lay nothing before You except our very sins that required Jesus to come in the first place. That is the only thing we can contribute to our salvation. And may we respond with the joy that the confessing church says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father, we need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. Our next door neighbor has to hear that. Please give us an opportunity to bring that good news to others, that they too may have the joy of salvation. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.